if you want to make it to church every Sunday next year, you got to be here next Sunday. So that's a good start. All right. Bread of Life Ministry taking donations, money for the January meal. Remember, there's a list of needs for the meal in the foyer. Please bring only those items. Christmas cards are in the back over that way now. Today's the last day to pick those up. And then membership class, trying to get that going. If you're interested in joining the church, please let one of our pastors know. We're in the process of setting a date for that class. Other events which are coming up in the month, in the next few months, are in the bulletin, which was emailed on Friday. If you didn't get that, let the office know about that. We can get you on the email list. I think that's it, except for remember the offering box is in the back, and thank you for giving. I think that's it.
I'm going to have a conversation with Steve just a second.
Did y'all, when you were growing up,
he's a preacher's kid too.
Did y'all, when you were growing up, have the Sunday school things?
Yes.
Do you remember the Sunday school thing? Some of you will. You had the little Sunday school thing, and you could get one for year after year after year after year that you had perfect attendance. We ought to try that.
Yeah.
Y'all aren't very encouraging. So good to see you this morning. Last Sunday morning, we gave gifts to the staff, and I had two cards that were in my office that were not given out last Sunday morning. And I want to say a special, one of them are in here this morning, but I'm at least doing it publicly. Bobby Kennedy, he takes care of all of our facilities and does such a good job, and we appreciate it. And so we wanted to recognize him. And then the one who runs the place, Mary. Jesse always said about Mary that she knows where all the bodies are buried. Yeah. And I have apologized to them. They were given their cards last Sunday after the service, and I apologize to them. And I apologize to you this morning for us not getting those taken care of last Sunday morning. But we do appreciate them and appreciate all that they do in order to make our church a very pleasant place and keep us up to date on everything that's happening. And Mary does try to keep Jack and me in line. She deserves a raise. So anyway. Well, during this Advent season, we've looked at the four words of Christmas. And this morning, we come to light the full Advent wreath as a part of our worship. Our first word in the first candle that we lit was the candle of hope. There is hope in the personality of God and in the purpose of God and for the people of God. The second candle that we lit was the candle of peace, that we can have peace with God and peace with how God is at work in our hearts and lives and pass along that peace to those that we know. The third candle was the candle of joy. There's joy in the redemption of God, in the rescue of God, in the rising Son of God. And then finally, we lit the candle of love and saw that there was love in the motivation of God, the marvel of God, and the message of God. And today we light those candles again in anticipation of the light that is still to come. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." And today we light the Christ candle. And we proclaim with the angels the birth of the light of the world. Pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity that we have to come together this morning. We come together to offer ourselves to you and to rejoice in what you have given to us. We are blessed, and we thank you for that blessing. May today, as we look at these words and other words, may our hearts and minds be drawn to you, and may we rejoice in the gift that has been given, the gift of light, the gift of love, the gift of Jesus. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Stand with us as you're able, as we sing Joy to the World this morning. Well, We sang Joyful, Joyful, and I'll be honest with you, that's the first time I have ever led that song in any congregation. I read it as we were singing it early this morning and realized that the words just build on top of each other as you go through that. You come to that part of that song that says, ever singing march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. And we do indeed live in a world that is full of strife. But we are victors in the midst of that strife. I understand full well that not all is well this morning. Not all is well in our world. We've sung this a couple of times as we've gone through Advent. But I want you to understand something this morning. All may not be well in our world, but all can be well with our souls. And so as you sing this song this morning, don't think about all the mess in our world. Think about the wellness that knowing Jesus can bring. That does not mean that we sit idle. It does not mean that we sit back, because there are a lot of people out there that need to know that there's more than strife, that Jesus can touch their hearts and can make all things well. So listen to the words of this song as we sing it this morning, and I hope it blesses you.
All is well. All is well. Angels and men rejoice. For tonight darkness fell into the dawn of God's light.
Pastor William is going to be preaching from John chapter 1, and so I'm going to read from the same author. the start of the first epistle of John, which starts in a very similar way. It talks about not us only having a message, but having a message that we can share. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was made known, and we have seen and we bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was made known to us. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message we have heard from him and declare it to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Lord, often we feel like we live in a dark world, and indeed it was dark. But you say that the light has come, and that the darkness has not overcome it. It's in him that we trust. It's in him that we live. It's in him that we pray. It's in him that we see. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I want to speak to you this morning from John chapter 1. And we're going to read down through verse 14. The scripture that Pastor Jack just read leads us right back to this. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I've been your pastor now for about 7 years. Well, just started 7 years. That may seem like an eternity for some. It may seem very, very short to others. It seems very, very short to me. Hard to believe it, that we've been here as long as we have. I think you've probably figured out by now that I enjoy what I am doing right now. I enjoy preaching. I enjoy the thought that goes into putting messages together. I suppose, and that is already on the screen this morning, I suppose what I really enjoy are words. And I don't use a whole lot of big words. I mean, there's a place and there's a time for big words. And I hate reading a book with a dictionary in my hand, but sometimes I have to do that. I want to be understood, and I want to understand, you know. And, wow, words. There's some reels on Facebook right now. I never thought I'd say that from the pulpit. Some reels on Facebook, and these people are talking about how you pronounce words, and it's my challenge when I see one of those to pronounce the word in the right way, so that I can at least know that I am intelligent. I fail miserably sometimes, you know. During this Advent season, we've been looking at the four words of Christmas. We've talked about hope and peace and joy and love. Now, I want to tell you, when you look at those words, they're very, very simple words. But when you start to try to unpack those words, you find out that those words are not easily unpacked. And when you begin to look at all of the meaning that are behind those words, especially when those words come from the Word of God. Wow. Those words are something else. Well, last year when we were together at Advent season, we looked at John. This is a new message, so that you'll know that. I'm not rehashing one for you. But when you come to John, you're going to find out that his describing of the coming of Jesus isn't in the traditional manner. He doesn't talk about the shepherds. He doesn't talk about the angels. He doesn't talk about any of that. He doesn't tell a traditional Christmas story, but he does tell us of a personal experience. I had someone tell me one time that nobody can deny your testimony. And when I heard that, they could tell by the way I furrowed my brow that I didn't really catch what they were saying. And what they were meaning by that is nobody can deny your testimony because you have experienced it. When you begin to talk about Jesus and all the things He's done in your life, you have experienced those things. Now, people may question you. They may say that you're crazy, but you have experienced, or at least I hope you have experienced Jesus in a miraculous way. And John speaks here kind of from personal experience. I mean, he begins in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." But then you go down to verse 14. And there in verse 14, he said, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us," period. But he doesn't stop. "We have seen His glory." That's experience. "We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jack read to you just a few moments ago from 1 John. I mean, in that he's talking about experience. He says, "We've handled Him. We've touched Him." This is more than just, well, this is what I've heard. This is what John has experienced. For centuries, theologians have studied and they have debated and they've written about the incarnation of Jesus. See, I do know a big word every now and then. You know. But John moves beyond. In all of this, he simply moves beyond that there was God. He goes to the point that he says that Jesus was there in the beginning, and that He was God, that He was with God. But then John adds those very simple words, but they are so very profound when you begin to look at it, that this Word became one of us. And we saw His glory. The glory of the only Son of God, full of grace and truth. Well, we've been talking about three words, the four words of Christmas. So this morning I'm going to add three more to it. How about that? And I want us to see how these words also fit into this whole vision of Christmas, this whole season of Christmas, these words that we've talked about and that you've read about as we've been going through that Advent devotion, and you come now to today. And I want us to look at three more words. The first of those words is magnificent. The first of those words is magnificent. Because he says there in verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory." I love how he says it there. He became flesh and lived among us, and we saw His glory. We saw His magnificence. Some say that
that John is referring to the fact that he and James and John saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And that may be true. But the reality of it is, I want you to get this, John and those men and women who followed Jesus saw the magnificence of God before they ever got to the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw the glory of God before they ever got to the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Jesus on a daily basis. They experienced His presence. There was glory. There was magnificence in the miracles. There was glory. There was magnificence in the message. There was glory in the fact that God had come and was living there. That ought to do something in us to think that the God of the universe, this magnificent God that created all that we see and all that we know, became one of us. That's magnificent. God had not allowed anyone to see Him, except Moses was able to see the hinder parts of God. We read in Exodus chapter 33, and He saw His back, And just from seeing God pass by, the glory so filled Moses that when he came down, he had to wear a veil because they couldn't bear to look at him. And John says here, we have seen the magnificence of God in Jesus. One pastor that I read said, God comes down here and seems to break His own rule of being unseeable by taking on flesh permanently. The God who couldn't be seen made Himself clearly visible with eyes and ears, a mouth and a nose. It is a profound and yet simple miracle. It is a magnificent miracle, I would add to that. The magnificence of God has come from heaven for us to behold. And John says here, we have seen Him. We've seen Him. In 1 John, we've touched Him. We've watched Him as He moved among the crowds. We've seen the miracles. We've seen all of the things that happened. This is magnificent, John is saying. But not only is it magnificent, it is also unique. Listen to what he says here, verse 14, one more time. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only. The glory of the one and only. I mean, the same words were used in John 3:16, which we talked about last Sunday morning as we came together. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Isn't it something? I mean, Jesus was not just another display of God. He was not some star that's out there. He's not some tree that's out there. He's not just something. He is a someone. He is the one and the only Son given to man. There's something unique. There's something special about Jesus. I mean, I don't have to tell you that fact. At least I hope I don't have to tell you that fact. But to think that God Himself, and I said this just a few moments ago, to think that God Himself would choose to come into our mess. And it is a mess. If you've not had your daily dose of depression today, I encourage you to go home and get it and turn on the news. You will find out what a mess our world is in. I'm serious, folks. But to think that God Himself would come into the mess that we really live in, it shows us how God loves us, and that is mind-boggling. That is unique. All the other religions speak of man trying to ascend and become more like their gods, not Christianity. I mean, think about that. We proclaim that the God of the universe came to us. He came and made His dwelling with us. And the literal translation of that, you know this because I told you this last year. At least I hope you remember this. You do remember this, don't you? Somebody shake their head and make me confident, okay? That he came and set up his tent among us. He set up his tent in our neighborhood. Now, whether y'all know it or not, I have to behave myself at home now. We have two members in the church that live just up the hill from me. So, I mean, they have to pass my house in order to get to theirs. So now I have to behave. Bob, can I tell about the story yesterday? I saw Bob yesterday. We were at Walmart, and Bob and Lynn have moved just up the hill from us. And Kathy lives just up the hill from us. They're actually closer, so they keep eyes on each other, you know. But it's amazing. I mean, we saw Bob yesterday at Walmart, and Bob and Lynn have been trying to find all the ways that they can get to their house. And so Susie and I told Bob yesterday as he was there at Walmart, and he said, I'm going a new way. I said, well, if you get lost, call me and I'll come find you. We were so, so lost. We were so lost. And Jesus came and made his dwelling among us so that when we realized our lostness, we could be saved. We could be found. Royalty rarely lives among commoners. Holy rarely wants to be dirtied by sinful. And yet God came and made his dwelling among us. Very dirty people. Very common people. And he took on human form and made his dwelling among us in order that we might see his glory, the glory of the one and only. That is unique, folks. Whether you realize it or not. I mean, all the other religions, they have gods that, you know, they want to use their power on the humans. I mean, the gods of ancient Greece, they were mischievous and selfish and perverted, and they needed to be feared. They were unpredictable. They were mean. They were petty. They were demanding. And our God shows up as a baby. Think about that for just a minute. Our God shows up as a baby, weak, in a cattle stall, not demanding anything from us, but he came to demonstrate weakness. He came to die. He came to tell the truth. He came to be the only way that men and women, boys and girls could truly be saved. That is a unique among all the gods. That is unique among all the religions. No other religion can say that their Savior came and set up a tent in their neighborhood. The last word is indescribable. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. You don't find those words too much in our day and age. There's little grace given and there's very little truth told. A study was released not long ago. This is amazing to me. A study was released not too long ago that the average person in our world lies once every 10 minutes. If you're a politician, it's much greater than that. In fact, if you want to know if a politician's lying, just look at his mouth. If it's moving, he is. You know. Let me tell you something about those two words, grace and truth, okay? Those two words are indescribable. I mean, they really are. We sing about amazing grace, but you know, our world sings that you hear the tune. In fact, just last night I was flipping through the channels and heard somebody playing Amazing Grace on the guitar, and I mean it was nice, but does our world really understand how indescribable that word grace is? Does our world begin to understand how indescribable that word truth is? That, I think that's the reason that Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 15 says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." Many of you will remember this name. Some of you won't, but many of you will. Dr. W.E. McCumber for many years was the editor of the Herald of Holiness, which is the magazine for the Church of the Nazarene. It's called Holiness Today. He was a master of words. I was fortunate enough as a kid preacher actually to have him do a revival in one of my churches, and I was amazed and was in awe when I went to pick up Dr. McCumber at the airport there in Tulsa, and I was calling him Dr. McCumber, and finally he said, "William, why don't you just call me Bill?" I was overwhelmed by him. Dr. McCumber said, "To begin to describe what Jesus did only causes the words to break down under the weight of such a task." Wow. I mean, grace, it's the unmerited favor of God. Truth is the reality of all that is correct and just and holy. And yet John says here, "We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came to the Father full of grace and truth." Jesus was, is, both of those things. When we see Jesus in a manger, we who now are a far way off know that He, when He took on flesh to do, to die and to live and to be resurrected, all those things to demonstrate the grace of God to us. In weakness, the scribes and the Pharisees probably would not have thought that He was too graceful at times because He told them the truth. Sometimes we don't like to hear the truth. Sometimes we would rather go in our own way, believing what we believe, rather than believing the truth. And the truth of the matter is, folks, Jesus did not just come to be a good person so that we might be able to look at Him and try to admire Him. And Jesus came in order that we might indeed follow Him and live as He lived. And I'm not sure we do that a whole lot. I mean, I would not have been as gracious as God has been. I've told you that many times. I would have wiped out creation. I'd have started over. But God was and is full of grace and truth. He died for the sins of the world and came to give us grace, not by works, but by faith. Isn't it amazing that when we put our trust and our confidence in Him, he tells us here that, verse 12, "Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God." Jesus became a son of humanity in the flesh, and because of that, we can know God. We can have relationship with God. We can move beyond the mess that is in our world and know what grace and know what truth really is. And all the other religions in the world, the gods did not allow men to become children of God. Oh, they would accept a human sacrifice. But we had a human sacrificed so that we could know His grace, understand His truth, and follow after Him. Folks, that's indescribable. I've tried. I mean, I really have. I've tried to describe it, but I haven't done well. Application. There you have it. This coming of a babe into our world brought hope, peace, joy, and love. This coming of a babe into our world is magnificent. It is unique. It is indescribable. And if you think you can, go ahead and try to outdo John. I don't think you can. What more can you add to what John has said? I mean, think about it. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, you can add one more word to that. Amazing. Amazing. That God would do that for us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word that makes a difference. He is the Word that makes a difference. We rejoice, Lord, this morning in Your Word that tells us of the Word that has made all the difference in our lives. Thank You, Lord, for the hope and the peace and the joy and the love that we experience. But we only experience those things because of the magnificent Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. He is unique. And we can experience a unique salvation in comparison to what the world would try to tell us. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your truth. The gift that was given is indescribable. And we rejoice that we can become children of God because of the gift that has been given. Lord, if there's one that doesn't know You this morning, I pray, Father, that as they are sitting even right where they are right now, that they might simply reach out to You, asking for forgiveness of their sins, determining that they're going to live differently and follow after this gift that was given. We rejoice and give You glory for who You are. We rejoice and give You glory that You came and You dwelt among us. And because of that, we one day can live with You. We give You glory. We give You honor. We give You praise for all that You have done. And Lord, as we approach a new year, help us, Lord, to be mindful that if we're allowed to see 2026 and we're allowed to live it, may we live it differently because of the gift that has been given. We thank You for all that You've done. We ask that You would bless us as we leave this place. May we be witnesses
of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we pray and ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. May God bless you. Appreciate you being here. Remember, we won't have services this evening or Wednesday night. We'll see you next Sunday morning. Lee wants me to remind you that there are some calendars out in the foyer. If you'd like to pick up one, he has provided those, and they're out there free of charge. Bless you guys. Thank you for being here. Don't forget your cards that are in the card box.